This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world, not on 790 KBC, but on KABC.com, streaming live into your ear. I'm Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. I am here with my lovely co-host, Carrie Kasem, who is here in the flesh. Hi, Carrie.
Well, hello, Alan.
It's great to see you, and we haven't had a real chance to talk too much over the last few weeks, so I'm just happy to be here, you and me alone, just having a nice, intimate conversation about things that have been going on in the world.
Well, you know what? We haven't had a talk for quite a while.
Yes. How's your sex life?
I didn't think that was the topic today. I mean, it kind of is, but I didn't think it was my sex life.
Right. We're going to talk about sex today, but not sex that you want. It's really important stuff, some serious topics. Later in the show, we are privileged to have with us Manly Stewart Finaldi, attorney, one of the founding members, Vince Finaldi. And Vince Finaldi is a real fine attorney, but what he's doing right now and what he's made a career of is representing people who have been subject to sexual abuse. And he's got a couple of clients, two gymnasts, actually, who were with the USA Gymnastics program, and they are claiming that they were sexually abused by the gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar. Larry Nassar, who has been with, or who was with, the USA Gymnastics for many, many years. The two women, one has a name, her name is out, Rachel Hollander, or something like that. Do you remember her name?
I remember it was Rachel.
It's Den Hollander.
There you go. Yeah, and I'm like, I remember it was Rachel because you told me it was Rachel right before we got on air.
Absolutely. And I want to tell you that there's some strong claims of sexual abuse and by the doctor, of course. And another interesting client that Vince Finaldi has is Wade Robson. And Wade Robson is a celebrity choreographer, and he worked with NSYNC and Britney Spears. And he is now alleging that Michael Jackson operated a sophisticated child sex abuse ring. And what's interesting about Wade Robson is he actually testified on Michael's behalf in 2005 when Tom Mesereau represented Michael Jackson, and he did get him off. Well, actually, he had him acquitted for the sexual abuse charges. And next week, in fact, we're having Tom on the show. Tom Mesereau will be on the show. So that'll be an interesting show. But Vince Finaldi is representing Wade Robson, who's filed an amended complaint indicating that, in fact, Michael Jackson was running a sex ring, so to speak, and he has filed it against MMJ Ventures and MJJ Productions because, of course, Michael Jackson is no longer alive. There's another complainant, James Safechuck, who I don't believe Mr. Finaldi represents, but he's also saying that Michael Jackson abused him, and that's another amended complaint. So this is coming to light again, Carrie, so it's kind of interesting. Before we talk to Vince, we're going to talk to California Assemblyman Bill Dodd. Bill Dodd represents the Napa-Sonoma area, and he co-authored a bill this week that was signed by the governor that provided for minimum mandatory sentencing for sexual abuse while the victim was intoxicated or unconscious. As well, this week, there was another bill that was passed and signed off by the governor involving the elimination of a statute of limitation on rape cases. And that bill was largely due to the Bill Cosby case. And on our show in the past, we've had Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom and other people who have been involved representing victims of Bill Cosby. So now there is no longer, as of January 1st, 2017, there's no longer a statute of limitations, which used to be 10 years. So we're going to talk to California Assemblyman Bill Dodd about those bills, especially the one that he co-authored, which was a response to the Brock Turner sentence. Brock's out of jail now. I think he only served, what, 3 months? And people have been outraged. And I guess the response was to make a mandatory minimum sentencing for these type of crimes. I'm not in favor of it, but I will ask Assembly Member Dodd why that was passed and what the genesis is, if it was just simply outrage by the public. So, Kerry, before we get to that, and that's some heady stuff, important stuff that we're going to talk about, we haven't had a chance, because you and I, we like to talk, we haven't had a chance to talk about what's gone on in the NFL with all these protests and how apparently football has taken a back seat to politics.
You know, I really have a problem with it. NFL is NFL. It's entertainment for us. It's not a place to show your politics, what you care about, what you do. Play football. You get millions and millions of dollars to play football. You have, that is not a forum for you to express, you know, any of your beliefs.
Kerry, what the heck are you talking about? What about First Amendment? What about the First Amendment? Can I say what I want?
Then you know what? Get off the football field and become a politician. Or you know what? Get off the football field and maybe use your Twitter or use your social media to talk about what you believe in. But using
it's First Amendment. We love it.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
and,
not.
And what about the outrage of what's going on in this country with blacks being killed by cops? I mean, that's just happening every day.
That is an awful thing. And that's also another forum. It's not an NFL game. That's my personal belief. I do not believe we should be using our entertainment as a forum or as, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't. And you know what's so funny is I know you so well.
You do.
I know you so well. I can hear that your argument is just to be devil's advocate. You don't believe that.
You know, Kerry, I don't agree with you on mostly anything.
Mostly everything, yeah.
But I absolutely agree with you on this.
I knew it.
I really don't believe it's because we're white. I don't want to make this a racial thing. I'm a lawyer here. The NFL is a private company. We pay to go see games. We don't pay to see athletes providing their political opinions.
I agree.
And I'm not a military person. I don't know anything about the military. No one in my family has ever served in the military. But if the NFL, in its infinite wisdom, has decided, and other sports, that they are going to have the national anthem at the beginning of every game, then why don't they have the guts? I was going to say balls, but the guts.
He said it anyway.
Why didn't they have the guts to say no? Do you know what they do, how they regulate NFL players? You can't have a different colored cleats. You can't wear different colored cleats than what the team cleats are. They tell you everything. You can't go out there and have signs saying, you know, I'm for abortion or I'm pro-life.
Yeah.
Or I'm whatever.
Or your sponsors or anything. No.
You can't do anything. Everything is regulated. And the NFL is being such a little baby cat on this.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously. It really is obnoxious.
No, you're right.
Why
I agree with you 100%.
And do you know how many people have been oppressed? How many people? I'm not minimizing what's gone on with the Black Lives Matter and the shootings and everything, but look in history. There are so many people, the natives, the Indians, the Aboriginals, whatever you want to call them, First Nations in Canada, their land was taken away. You know, why don't we protest that? What about the Jews in the Holocaust? 6 million put away in gas chambers and the like. It's like this has been a problem throughout our history, And, you know, I know so many people, and it's not only Jews, Armenians, and other nationalities and peoples who have come to this country, and what have they done? They've made something of themselves. They've done what they had to do through education, through political maneuvers like you're talking about. But do we really have to be subjected to it on the football field? Come on, folks. Mark Levin said, and I'm no fan of his, that was a double negative, but, you know, he's saying we should boycott the NFL because they are not doing their job and letting us watch football. And I'll tell you, Stephen A. Smith on ESPN is probably the biggest racist out there because he is so, he can't help saying everyone should be doing, if they have it in their heart, if a black person has it in their heart, they should be kneeling. They should be putting their fist up. They should do whatever. But what he's not understanding is the NFL is a private company. I own a firm, a law firm. I'm an employer. I don't let my employees, my attorneys, go to court. My women attorneys. What if they don't want to wear a shirt? They just want to go topless. Can't do it.
No.
You know, if they want to have some kind of cause, I tell them you have to fit in this code because not everyone agrees that women topless is proper.
Everybody on that team could be kneeling for something. There is always something. And I'm not in any way making something less at all. But there are so many problems in this country and in this world,
right,
that every single person could take a knee for something that they care about,
yeah,
or that they need, they say needs to have attention
sexual
put on
abuse
it. Anything
sexual,
so we'd have
abuse.
People kneeling all over the field. This is not about your political views and what you stand
right.
for. This is a game. It's entertainment.
You know, Brock Turner, a lot of people felt that that sentence from Judge Persky was wrong, and Pretzky, whatever Pretzel, they felt that that was wrong. So what did they do? They went through the legislature, and they said, okay, let's talk about a minimum sentencing, mandatory sentence. That's the proper, that's what politics is for. For better, for worse, we have candidates who are there to help us to pass laws, and that's where these debates should take place. Speaking of which, after the break, we're going to talk to Assemblyman Bill Dodd about the two sexual assault and obviously the rape statute of limitations laws that were signed into law by Governor Brown this week. So you're listening to Gurvey's Raw. We'll be with Bill Dodd after the break. Right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
We have a Money Matters free retirement seminar, 7 p.m. Tuesday, Radisson Hotel Chatsworth, or 1 p.m. next Saturday, October 8th, Holiday Inn OC Airport. If you're retired or retiring soon, don't miss it. Find out how you can help protect your life savings from a stock market crash, what you can do to help hedge against another recession, how you can help prevent outliving your assets, the best time to take Social Security, learn 5 strategies to help save on income taxes, and more. Register at moneymatters.net. That's moneymatters.net or call 800-994-0302.
If you could quickly and painlessly clear your psoriasis or vitiligo, would you?
No matter how big the psoriasis is, no matter how small the psoriasis, we can help you.
Ashley is a clinical specialist for XTRAC, the amazing in-office treatment for psoriasis and vitiligo that's clinically proven to show immediate results with up to 95% clearance.
What my patients love most about the XTRAC treatments is it's safe, it's FDA cleared, and they're seeing results very quickly.
End the embarrassing, painful patches and discoloration with XTRAC. There's no medications, no topical ointments, and virtually no side effects. XTRAC uses light to transform your skin and change your life. It's covered by all major insurances and Medicare, and will help you find a doctor close by.
I love what I do. I love coming in every day and making a difference in patients' lives. It's amazing.
Call now to live XTRAC clear. Call 800-624-1753. That's 800-624-1753. 800-624-1753. Or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply.
You're listening to Gurvey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, you're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gurvey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. And we are welcoming to the show now California Assemblyman Bill Dodd of the California's 4th Assembly District. That's around the Napa-Sonoma area. And we're going to talk to Assemblyman Dodd about two bills that were signed by the governor this week. One, Assembly Bill 2888, which he co-authored with Assemblyman Evan Lowe, which provides for minimum mandatory sentencing for convicted rapists or for sexual abuse cases where the victim was unconscious or intoxicated. And we'll also ask him about another bill that Governor Brown signed into law about eliminating the statute of limitations in rape and other sex crimes. Assemblyman Bill Dodd, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, just before the break, and I'm going to talk about this very important legislation that was passed this week, but before the break, Carrie and I were talking about what's going on in the NFL and the Colin Kaepernick situation, and I alluded to the fact that that's what our politicians are for. That's what you are representing your constituents for. What is your feeling about the public, and especially in a private venue like the NFL, using their First Amendment rights without any kind of restrictions from the NFL?
Well, look, I listened to that last part of your segment there, and I agree with both of you. I just think it is we're moving in the wrong direction. I get the issue. I totally understand it. I'm appalled by a lot of what's going on as well. But, you know, we have to have you know, some restraint in these areas, and I think it is incumbent. You know, it was interesting because I know you're probably Dodger and Angel fans down there, but I went to a Giants game the other night.
Right.
And we commented, you know, just how unbelievable it was that none of these baseball players on either team, 25 or maybe they're at 40 now, did any of that. So,
well, you know, Assemblyman Dodd, what people will say is that Major League Baseball is essentially racist because of the number of blacks who are in the game versus the NFL and the NBA. I'm not saying I buy that, but that may be one of the reasons why you are not seeing these protests. Regardless of what your cause is, we're are still seeing, and Major League Baseball, and by the way, I'm not necessarily a Dodgers fan because I'm not from here. I'm a Blue Jays fan, and we're hoping that we're going to make the playoffs this weekend. I'm off to Toronto tomorrow to see the wild card game, if they're in the wild card game. But I do agree with you that there has to be decorum in the Major League Baseball. I think, you know, make sure that this is a fun environment. We're all paying money, and I bring my family to the baseball games, and I know you have, I think, 5 children and 5 grandchildren, so I'm sure you enjoy sports with them, and politics should be kept aside. Having said
Absolutely.
That, let's talk about the genesis of Assembly Bill 2888, which you co-authored with Evan Lowe. Tell us how you got involved with the sexual assault bill and the mandatory sentencing.
Well, you know, it was right after Judge Persky handed the sentence down from Brock Turner, and there was a couple. Evan Lowe is my neighbor, you know, in the Capitol. His office is just right across the patio from mine, and we started talking about this and just how, you know, terrible this was, and we started working on it, and you know, I think it starts at the root that sexually assaulting an unconscious or intoxicated victim has to be equally reprehensible, if not more, than
right,
you know, sexually assaulting somebody that can fight back. And the idea that the sentence would be different between those two is just mind-boggling.
And it's not only fight back. I think it's important to think of the state of the mind of the victim, where they have more rationality, obviously, or hopefully, if they're not unconscious and if they're not intoxicated. But I want to ask you this, and it really does beg the question as to whether this is the proper means to address this issue, because Governor Brown did say that he's not a big fan of mandatory sentencing. And of course, we give a lot of responsibility to the judiciary, to the judges. So did it come up in the debates and the discussion of this saying, why are we legislating mandatory sentencing when that's the job of the courts?
That is an absolutely fantastic question. And yes, that was brought up both in the Assembly Public Safety Committee and the Senate Public Safety Committee, because we have a lot of members that sit on these boards that represent, a lot of, African-Americans,
right,
for example, that have been sentenced unjustly over time. We all know about the history of that throughout our country and throughout our state. And a lot of them just never vote, period, for any of these minimum sentencing and or determinant sentencing, same thing. But at any rate, it did come up. And at the end of the day, people were so shocked that, the fact that there would be a different sentence for somebody that is, passed out, unable to, fight back, and somebody that's raped, that is able to fight back. And I think that more than anything else, I think what we really came to grips with was, while determinant sentencing isn't the be all and the end all, and we've seen how it can be bad or not effective, in this particular case, it was just a strong message that both of these crimes be treated equally. And down the line, if there's an opportunity for law enforcement or the people or whomever to change, those laws, or the legislature, for heaven's sakes, that can come later. But for the time being, what we wanted to make sure is that, once again, assaulting an unconscious or intoxicated victim, we wanted laws that would treat them exactly the same as anybody else that was sexually assaulted.
You know, I had Assemblyman Dowd, this is Carrie Kasem. I had two friends that called me up. We talked about this a few months ago on the show, and they said, this is so disgusting. Rape is rape. Whether you are awake, whether you are kind of with it, or whether you are out, it's rape. And they were so appalled and so upset by what went on in the sentencing that I'm just, thank you for this, and thank you for, for pushing this through. It's just such an important law. I have... What?
Carrie, I'm not sure I agree with you, and I can ask Assemblymember
Dodd. You don't agree with me on anything.
Well, the thing about it is that, and this is an interesting point, is that that's what our courts are supposed to be for. So in theory, you're right. This is like the protests in, for Black Lives Matter. Yes, I don't think anyone will disagree with the concept that black people should not be shot without any cause, of course. No one disagrees with that. However, in this case, Assemblymember Dodd, tell us why the judges, just because you have this one, I would say, bad apple, I think he made a huge mistake in the Brock Turner case, but shouldn't that be the subject of a recall of a judge? Why should we be legislating when the facts should be presented to a court and we should have confidence that the court is going to come up with the right conclusion, the right sentencing based on the evidence?
If I would totally agree with you, if the sentencing guidelines were consistent, I think Carrie is right. Rape is rape. It doesn't matter who is raped, who is sexually assaulted. They should be treated exactly the same. And that's what this bill will do. The governor agreed with. That's why I believe he signed the bill as well, because putting people behind bars for a long time and, throwing away the key is not the answer to our crime issues in the United States.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. This one was just so outrageous. It just totally exposed, just a loophole in our laws. And once again, if somebody wants to come back through after the fact and look at that sentencing within itself equally for both somebody that is awake and can fight off their perpetrator versus somebody that's totally out of it, that's fine with me. But I think in the meantime, having it be consistent, recognizing that rape is really important.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Alan. I'm going to agree with some of what you said, because this judge, and I'm not going to go into everything, has made very, very bad calls before. He's got a history of it. So I do think we need to look at some of these judges, some of the judges that have a history of not necessarily making the right call.
What, of making a decision that doesn't agree with your thoughts?
No, I mean, there's a few.
Assemblymember Dodd is a Democrat.
Hold on a second. I'm actually agreeing with something that you have said. I'm actually agreeing with something.
But that doesn't matter.
Okay, really? You're going to go against anything I say? Even if I agree with you, he's going to take it up.
No, go ahead.
All right, anyway.
No, I want to say something, because it's a good point you're making. But, you know, as a Democrat, you look at this, and we want to be able to let the Democratic system play out. And Assemblymember Dodd isn't necessarily, and I'm just guessing here, I don't think you're, you know, the hard-nosed gun advocate, crime defender that, you know, maybe Donald Trump pretends that he is. But there is an issue here with respect to separation of the branches of law. And I don't disagree, and I think you've given us a good answer in the fact that you're just basically separating perhaps a whole. But there are a lot of holes, and we can't. I hate a lot of judges. I'm going to go on record. The judges that I appear for before, I know what they're going to say before I even make my argument. So I'm not a big fan of every judge, but that's the system. Bill?
Yeah, you know, I agree. But I think the other thing that's a little bit deeper here is this law is actually more about, more than sentencing. It's about supporting victims as well. And I think a ruling like this, that the judge, probationary thing, I think it really discourages women to come forward in the future. I think that's another thing that we, you know, that we thought through. And also, we just passed a number of laws that Kevin DeLeon, the speaker, the president pro tem of the Senate, championed 2 years ago about the rape culture on our campuses in the state of California. And I think this really, this legislation not only supports the victims, but it supports a change in the culture on our college campuses to prevent future crime.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And that is the correct forum to do it, not on the field of NFL games. Can you stay with us for a couple minutes after break? Because I do want to talk about the elimination of the statute of limitations in rape. And I know you didn't co-author that, but I'm sure you have an opinion.
Sure.
All right. Well, you're listening to Gervie's Law. We have to take a quick break. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. We're talking to Assemblymember Bill Dodd. After the break, we will talk to Vince Finaldi from Manley Stewart Finaldi about sexual abuse cases. We will be right back.
Welcome to the sweet spot, where your kitchen gets the new appliances it needs and you get really low prices. Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 30% with special buys on the most innovative appliances from Samsung. Save $600 on a Samsung French door refrigerator in black stainless steel. It stores more and has Samsung's most modern finish. Sweet. Nobody beats our prices. Guaranteed. With up to 30% off appliances. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, this is Chip Wade, DIY expert, TV host, and lead designer for WadeWorks Creative. Is your fridge on the fritz? Oven not cooking evenly? Your dryer taking multiple cycles to dry all your clothes? New appliances can make all the difference in your home, saving you both time and money. Upgrade your appliances at the best prices at the Home Depot, where you'll find a great selection of all the name brand products you trust, such as GE, Maytag, LG, Samsung, and more. Visit homedepot.com/appliances for details. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Welcome to the sweet spot, where your kitchen gets the new appliances it needs and you get really low prices. Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 30% with special buys on the most innovative appliances from Samsung. Save $600 on a Samsung French door refrigerator in black stainless steel. It stores more and has Samsung's most modern finish. Sweet. Nobody beats our prices. Guaranteed. With up to 30% off appliances. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
And we are back. I'm Alan Gervey with Carrie Kasem right here at Gervey's Law and Talk Radio 790 KBC. You can call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. We are talking to Assemblymember Bill Dodd, who is of California's 4th Assembly District. Includes all portions of Yolo, Napa, Sonoma, Lake Solano, and other counties. Assemblymember Dodd, we had just talked about Assembly Bill 2888, which provided for minimum mandatory sentencing for offenders convicted of sexual assaults, including where the victim is unconscious or intoxicated. I want to change gears a little bit and talk about another bill that Governor Brown signed into law this week, which eliminated the statute of limitations in rape and other sex crimes. Is this another law that really was generated because of the Bill Cosby situation? Because we talked before the break about Brock Turner and why your bill, Assembly Bill 2888, came to fruition. Do you have an opinion, or do you have any inside knowledge of why the elimination of the statute of limitations now, at this time, became a reality?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that Bill Cosby's situation precipitated this bill coming forward. I don't really have any inside knowledge or any bill's author never came to me and discussed it with me, but to me it's obvious. And what's really interesting is, it was a hard one for me actually. And then when this presented itself, I had to look at myself and really kind of think through these issues. And I don't know. I just as a father of, five and grandfather of five, and that includes two daughters and three granddaughters.
Right.
I just feel like, at some point in time in our country, we've got to change the culture. Maybe that starts with these, with laws like this. But moreover, we have to talk to our sons and our grandsons and start talking to them more succinctly and clearly about respecting women and not violating in any way, shape, or form, women anywhere.
So why was it hard for you? I mean, we have on the show quite often Gloria Allred, her daughter Lisa Bloom, Ann Bremner, a lot of attorneys who represent victims' rights and sexual abuse and rape cases. They have been singing the praises of this, saying it should have happened a long time ago. I think it occurred earlier this year in Colorado. Why was this difficult for you?
Well, first of all, I want to make it clear, I did vote for it and did support the bill, but I guess more than anything else, in 10 years, I obviously have the concerns about, whether or not, somebody comes forward, after 10 years, you got to ask yourself the question why. And as I started thinking through that, there's lots of reasons why, and they just weren't obvious to me at the very beginning. When I first heard about it, I was a little bit, I was a little bit concerned about,
predatory women. Let's just call it out.
Yeah.
There are predatory women. It's happened in the workplace. It's happened with people that I know that would never do such a thing,
right,
that where somebody will accuse them just to make a quick buck. And I hope to God that that doesn't happen. And I hope that we have judges that will see through,
right,
women that will do this, and then the women that are victims.
And it's with sexual abuse as well,
yeah,
with children. There's always an issue. Are they being truthful? Are they being honest? Did they go through some psychotherapy that brought this out, whether it's true or not? And we're going to talk about that. I want to thank you, Assemblymember Bill Dodd, for being on the show. It's really interesting to hear the insight from your perspective, someone who is obviously giving these issues a lot of thought. And it's important because you've pointed out there are arguments on both sides. I think you did the right thing on both of these accounts, at least with these laws. There's some laws that I'm not happy about. One day I'll have you on and we'll talk about workers' compensation, because
All right.
As a workers' compensation attorney, we have not been happy with SB 863, and there needs to be a lot of changes. And I know you are a good supporter of workers. You're a supporter of seniors, of farm workers, and a lot of really important interest groups that you have not turned your back on. So I would love to have you on and talk about workers' compensation another time. Have a great weekend, and thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Alan and Carrie, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
So we just finished talking about, and Carrie, you brought out an excellent point about the predatory, how do you say
predatory
that word?
Predatory women.
Predatory.
Yeah.
Okay. In Canada, we say it differently.
In Canada, you say a lot differently and do a lot differently.
Exactly. So we want to welcome now, because this is an important and a nice segue, Vince Finaldi. He is with Manley Stewart and Finaldi. He's been in the news recently because of a few clients that he represents. Importantly, he represents two gymnasts who are alleging sexual abuse by a former USA gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar. And he also represents Wade Robson. And Wade Robson, he is or was a celebrity choreographer. I worked with NSYNC and Britney Spears, and he's alleging that Michael Jackson operated a sophisticated child sex abuse ring. What's interesting is next week we're having Tom Mesereau on the show, and Tom actually defended and won the case with Michael Jackson in 2005. And I talked to Tom last week on the phone, and he was telling me that Wade Robson was his key witness and one of the reasons why Jackson was acquitted of all charges. First, Vince Finaldi, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to have you. And let me ask you, just follow up on that. Let's talk about Wade Robson first and the Michael Jackson situation, then we'll talk about Larry Nassar. So give us a little background, and I don't know if you dispute it or not, but the record seems to suggest that back in 2005, Wade Robson did not say anything that would harm Michael Jackson. In fact, he was the first witness that really helped him. How have things changed now, fast-forwarding to 2016?
Okay, well, to set the full record straight, he actually testified back in the Chandler case in 1993. That's the first time he testified on behalf of Mr. Jackson.
Right.
Wade was only 12 at the time, and Mr. Jackson and his entire camp asked him to do it.
And wasn't there a big settlement in that one, which might have hurt Michael Jackson's reputation?
The $20 million one? Yes.
Importantly, what happened was, Wade did not want to testify, and Judge Lance Ito, this is before the O.J. case,
yes. Right.
Actually held Wade in contempt as a 12-year-old kid and was going to put him in jail. And
wow.
That's when he had to go and testify. So Michael Jackson's lawyers met with him. Anthony Catalicano met with him, who we all know about now.
Right.
And they told him exactly what to say. So as a 12-year-old, he had already perjured himself because he thought what Michael Jackson had told him all along, look, if anyone listens and hears about the way we love one another, which they're not going to understand, they're going to put us all in jail. He thought that prophecy was going to come true. So you fast forward to 2005, he told everyone, I don't want to testify. And then he ended up getting subpoenaed, and Michael Jackson was begging him to do it, and he said, I'm just going to go up there and just do the same thing.
Don't people suspect under those circumstances that there's a payoff when people testify? I mean, I know with my cases, there's a lot of interest, whether it's on one side or the other, and I always question the interest. I won't have a witness testify because I know they're not going to be honest because of one reason or another.
Yeah. What I can say, number one, is hang tight and watch the press in about 2-3 weeks. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Wow.
Are you going to come back? I have a bit of a problem, only because I know a few kids that did grow up with, in Michael Jackson's house, hanging with Michael Jackson. I dated one of them. I'm not going to talk about it. We were very close.
Wasn't it? Haim?
No. Haim did not grow up with Michael Jackson. I mean, they did have some connection, but he didn't grow up with him.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so these children that did hang out with him constantly or go even on the tour bus with him, they've never come forward, not one time. In fact, they've done the opposite. They've said, he's never touched me. That was never the case. This is never something that happened. And if there was a sophisticated ring and it's something like that, then why the two kids that I do know personally, why wouldn't they have seen something, or why wouldn't something have been done to them, or why? That's what I'm feeling. And there's a lot of children.
So,
real quick, there's a lot of children that did hang with him, not one of them, except Wade, not one,
James
has come forward.
Safechuck. James Safechuck.
That's not true. That's not true. Numerous kids have come forward.
Yeah, they have.
And except for the ones with the families, yes. Go ahead.
No. So as for the ones who've received settlement that he's paid out the Chandler incident. He paid out Blanca Francia's son,
right,
who brought a claim, who said he was molested and abused, and he paid him $1.5 million.
Right.
Then we have James Safechuck, who's come forward. We've had Ray Robson, who's come forward. And there's been other ones who've come forward as well. So that's not true, but no one else has come forward. But the second point is, just because someone is a pedophile doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to sexually abuse every single boy or girl that they come into contact with. They still pick and choose the ones that they abuse, and it's called the grooming process. Through the grooming process, they discern which ones they believe they'll be able to keep quiet, which ones would be more ripe for the abuse, and importantly, which ones they're more attracted to. And so the sophisticated ring, not necessarily a ring, I didn't call it a ring, I said it was a child abuse procurement machine, the apparatus assisted him in the grooming process by helping him to isolate the kids that he wanted. He would say, bring this one back to my room. I want to talk to this one and take the parents over here and do something with them. And that's kind of how it works.
You know, it's funny because I used to work with magicians quite a bit, and I won't name them. Very, very well-known magician used to be out on stage, and he would actually check out the people in the audience, and he would have his assistants go to them during the show and whisper and say, Mr. So-and-so wants you to come back in and see him after the show. These weren't kids. These are women. So we know it occurs with rock stars, magicians, and those type of people. Usually it involves good-looking women that they want to meet, and they can use their fame and fortune to do so. But I want to ask you a little bit about the defendants in this case, MJJ Productions and MMJ Ventures. So people want to know, from a legal perspective, it's a different theory because Michael Jackson obviously isn't alive. There's an estate that could be sued. But tell us the theory of, the defendants,
I'd be more than happy to. So initially, the lawsuit was against the estate, which is like you're suing Michael Jackson personally, and MJJ Productions, which was, it's a loan-out corporation. Anytime you have a big star, entertainer, actor, you never really work with them directly. They protect themselves from personal liability by using what's called a loan-out corporation. So that's all MJJ Productions was. You want to hire Michael Jackson, you hire MJJ Productions, who employs Michael Jackson, and that's how it works.
Right.
It protects him from personal liability, okay? So the estate was let out on statute of limitations grounds, because the statute of limitations as the estate starts to run when you know that the person has died. And Wade didn't file within a reasonable amount of time after learning that Michael had died. As to the companies, the statute of limitations is different. It's no different than suing a church entity, for example. A church employs a child to work as a pallbearer or as a communicant or something, and it also employs a priest. The priest abuses the child. And therefore,
right,
if they had a reason to know that this guy was dangerous, they can incur liability.
Vince,
different than what happened here.
I understand.
Here,
we have to take a quick break. We have to take a quick break. We'll resume talking about this. Hold your thought. We have to pay for this show, unfortunately. You're listening to Gary's
no
Law
at all.
Right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855
855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Welcome to the sweet spot, where your kitchen gets the new appliances it needs and you get really low prices. Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 30% with special buys on the most innovative appliances from Samsung. Save $600 on a Samsung French door refrigerator in black stainless steel. It stores more and has Samsung's most modern finish. Sweet. Nobody beats our prices. Guaranteed. With up to 30% off appliances. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. You are listening to Gervie's Law. I'm listening to the music right now. It sounds great. Thanks, Jose. Dino's cheering on the Notre Dame football team for finally winning today. We're talking with Vince Finaldi. This is fascinating. There's so many interesting concepts here involved. It's a very, very contentious area where it's difficult. And we have to take our hats off to people like Vince Finaldi because they do represent people who some people would think are just looking for a money grab. But if the facts bear out their cases, then certainly they should be, the victims should have their day in court and the offenders should be brought to justice. And we're talking about civil suits here, not criminal. Manley Stewart Finaldi are lawyers who handle these issues, and Vince is one of the top guys in the country who deal with victims' rights, a sexual abuse. Now, Vince, before the break, we were talking about the lawsuit with Wade Robson suing MJJ Productions and MMJ Ventures. Do you believe that the responsibility or liability, assuming that it's successful, will be watered down because the theory in law is not that these companies actually did it, but they just allowed or they procured or they facilitated?
Well, so what's important to understand is that Wade Robson was employed by MJJ Productions. He was their employee. He had an employment contract, and he was employed to work on the music videos, and Michael Jackson was his mentor, his coach, and his teacher. We've got all the records. Michael Jackson sponsored his immigration here to the United States so that he can work, and Michael Jackson signed notarized documents under penalty of perjury saying that, you know, Wade was a talented kid. He was one of the most talented dancers in Australia, and he was coming here to improve Michael Jackson's performances because he actually danced with him on stage. So it's no question that he was an employee, and Michael Jackson was sleeping in bed with him at the time. So
right.
If you look at, you know, a sexual harassment scenario, you know, a boss sleeping in bed with his own employee does things with them, no one would question where that the business there would incur liability. It's the very same
right.
theory.
And by the way, let me just add something, that if there are damages as psychiatric in nature, it is a workers' compensation claim too. Has a workers' compensation claim been filed?
No, it's not technically. Sexual abuse is out of it because it's not what would be considered a natural danger of the employment.
No, in workers' compensation, if there is any physical or emotional effect of your job, you file a claim. So that is not correct.
Yeah, I am correct because we've dealt with this issue before, and I've fought motions on it, and I've won motions every single time. If you look it up, particularly in the sexual abuse setting, they determine that sexual abuse is usually not a natural occurrence of your employment. Therefore, it's out of workman's comp. Now, the only time it would be is if, for example, you work in an industry where sex is part of the job, such as the pornographic industry or something like that.
Well, I represent a lot of clients, and I could tell you some real stories about what happens on the job that is not within the scope. Once you are working for someone, you are protected. But in this case, you do have a third-party case, which becomes a first-party case in this sense, regarding a civil case. You have both cases, and the civil case may eat up the recovery in the workers' comp. But any time you are injured on the job, regardless of how it occurs, it is going to be considered. But anyway, we can talk that out on another show. I do want to ask you, because we don't have a whole lot of time, and I'm really enjoying the conversation.
There's one more point I wanted to get to.
Okay, get to the one more point, and then follow up your...
point I wanted to get to was, you know, I understand you're having Mr. Mesereau on, and he's gone on numerous different outlets saying how Wade's lying, he's not telling the truth. I extend an open invitation to debate Mr. Mesereau as to the issue. Anytime, any location he chooses, and I'll even sweeten the pot. If someone thinks that I did a worse job than he did, then I'll offer $10,000 to the charity of his choice. But he's got to do the same if I get the better of him.
All right. Well,
the charity of my choice.
I am going to, on behalf of Tom Mesereau, I'm going to take you up on that. I'm kidding. I can't do that. But we will facilitate it right here on this show. You both come down. Tom is local. You're kind of local, a little south of local, but you're local enough. And we will have that debate because I'll tell you, Tom will not, and I know because we've talked to him on other cases. He was involved with the Suge Knight case. He would not make commentary on the Suge Knight case, but he is not presently involved in this case, and I am sure that he will be happy to discuss and debate it.
I know all about what his trial team did in 05 and how they interacted with Wade and with his family and how they coached his testimony, so I'd be more than happy to talk with him on live radio about it.
I'm going to try my best to facilitate it, and we appreciate that. In 1 minute or less, because I do want to talk about Dr. Nassar, before we get to him, can you tell us what's the future on the Wade-Robson case? Where do you see it going?
Well, the Wade Robson case, we're preparing for trial, and that's his most important concern, is to let the world know the true facts that occurred behind the scenes and what really happened, because the whole record that's been written on Michael Jackson is largely false, and it's been scrubbed and it's been cleaned over the years since his passage. You go on his Wikipedia page, it doesn't say a single thing about child sexual abuse.
Right.
That's the most important thing. And looking forward to that.
And folks, make sure you listen next week because Tom Mesereau will address this subject. Next week, he is on Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. In the last few minutes, Vince, we want to talk about Larry Nassar, or Nassar, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Tell us about Rachel Denhollander and the Jane Doe who have sued the doctor, former gymnast, who say that he did inappropriate things.
Okay, so essentially what he would do is he was a team physician, and, you know, the gymnasts have a number of different ailments. You know, they have ankle injuries, hip injuries, back injuries, and what he would tell them is that, you know, you have a problem with your hips, and the way that I'm going to adjust you is by, and I'm not making this up, inserting my fingers into your vagina and readjusting. So there were times when he would not using a glove, he would push their uniform and their underwear aside, and he would insert his fingers into their vagina and you know, manipulate them, manipulate their breasts for sometimes 10 to 15 minutes.
That's
and
what he learned at...
These are 10, 12-year-old girls.
That's awful.
That's what he learned at osteopath school.
Awful.
So
well,
why didn't...
That's what he says. Yeah.
Why didn't they come out? Why didn't they come out any earlier?
Well, a lot of these girls really didn't know it was abuse. I mean, you're a 10-year-old girl. You've got a person who's a physician doing this. He's part of Team USA.
Wow. He's a
renowned doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, you assume, yeah, this is part of the job. And then they get older and they, you know, have their own first sexual experiences and, you know, they become mothers and they start to realize, hey, you know what? What happened to me was not normal. It's not right. Start talking to people and they decide to step forward.
What's going to happen with this case? You know, I'm right now just hearing it. It just sickens me. If it's correct, what you're saying, and of course, that's what we have the courts for, but it does absolutely sicken me. What's going to happen in this case?
Well, what's going to happen is, the law enforcement is investigating him now. It's my understanding the FBI is involved as well, because this is something that happened across state lines and in other countries as well. He was doing this for a number of years with many, many different kids. He had access, free access to a lot of kids. He would go right into their dorms while they're at competitions, you know, worldwide. Free access to their dorms. He'd go in there, he'd do this, he'd go into the next room and do it. So my prediction is law enforcement's probably going to do something about this, and the civil cases are going to proceed.
And I don't know if you were listening, and my throat is like about the bills that we were
sexy.
Talking about. Yeah, about what? Sexy?
Sexy,
it's sexy.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes.
Okay.
Go.
about the bills that were just passed, you know, where there's no statutes now on
removal of statute of limitations. Yes.
Yes. What do you think about those?
In 30 seconds.
I think they're great. A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, some of these happened so long ago, you know, it's not fair to hold someone responsible for it. But remember, it's the state's burden to prove their case. So the longer the time period is, the harder it is for the state.
Right.
It's actually easier for a defendant to get away.
Yeah.
But what's important to understand is the longer a person waits, it's usually because the rape was a lot worse and they were coerced a lot more.
Yes.
So those are the important cases to bring forward.
Vince Finaldi from Manley Stewart Finaldi, we want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law. Obviously, you handle the victims of sexual abuse, sexual harassment, electronic harassment, violation of civil rights. It's Manley Stewart Finaldi. We're happy to have you back on with Tom Mesra. We'll do this debate. Thanks and good luck with these cases.
Thank you very much, sir. Talk.
Bye.
All right. Wow, what a show.
Yes.
I want to thank everyone for listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie, and she's Carrie Kasem. Have a great week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.